You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
The Motor Zone is brought to you by EasyQ4U. Vehicle admin made easy. Call 073-280-2971.
Have you got vehicle admin headaches? Hi, I'm Hazel from EasyQ4U, and I have a solution. Whether it's personal or business, renewals, registrations, taking for roadworthy, or getting number plates, EasyQ4U sorts it all. From licensing to ownership changes, BRNC applications to engine clearances, even deceased estate vehicle processing. We do the running around so you don't have to. Take the schlep out of your vehicle admin. Call or WhatsApp EasyQ4U on 073-280-2971 today. EasyQ4U, vehicle admin made easy.
Right, and it's 10:30 and I'm here today with James from JSJ Motors coming to talk to us about all things important.
Well, certain things always are. Yeah, we're having a little chat now about, you were saying, overtaking trucks and things like that, how the roads have changed in South Africa because of the amount of trucks, our rail network not working.
Oh, absolutely.
This was an interesting thing. I brought up with my son. He phoned me from Polokwane, and he says, no, he's got a guy with an Amarok. That's his boss's brother's Amarok. He put diesel in, and he was driving down the road. Next minute, the Amarok made a noise, and it stopped driving.
Oh, dear.
So he pulled it in. He started going through it, and he says he pulled the fuel out, and he smelled like paraffin. And this is what brings us to today's thing. Is the Amarok's motor is buggered. It's totally shot. It's going to cost him probably about 40,000-50,000 rand to repair. Because someone wants to make a couple of rand on diesel.
Sure. And in an Amarok, that's a nice car too.
So, it's not just Amaroks, it's all types of vehicle, any diesel vehicle. So this is where we are going to. Even the trucks get caught as well. And my biggest thing is, I'm going to tell you now, go to people that you know for, if you're going to fill up with diesel. Anywhere in the country, just go to a big garage because you know you're going to get non-contaminated fuel. And that's the biggest thing. So what they were saying about is the South African receiver of revenue, they say they're losing out on 3.6 billion rands worth of fiscus annually. That's how much money they're losing on the imported fuels. So they're smuggling fuel, mixing it from across the border, which damages engine machinery and things like that. So that's the biggest thing. Is if you've got a diesel car, make sure you go to the correct place. And get filled up with a proper diesel. So over the past decade, and it's all because our South African rail network has collapsed.
Yeah.
So all these people have got the trucks, and there's massive amount of trucks on the road, destroying our roads, destroying the infrastructure. And as the railway network gets busy getting fixed again, the guys destroy it because there's so much money in the trucking business. And this is where the guys are bringing the diesel in. They're contaminating it with paraffin. And it's destroying engines. And the problem lies is, if you don't, like I say, if you don't go to a proper place, you put this paraffin in. Paraffin is a fuel. Diesel is an oil.
Okay.
So what happens is it gets too hot, and it starts destroying the injector, and it starts destroying the piston. So what it'll do is it'll start making, if anybody's had a diesel before you started up here, they start tock, 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 tock. That noise will get progressively worse if they've paraffin in the diesel. So that diesel knock will get it louder because it's not firing properly. I don't know if anybody started a diesel car with a quick start. It makes a hell of a noise. Mm. And that's exactly what happens. So, and it's also because of our weigh bridges and things like that. The weigh bridges don't work anymore. So the guy would take his manifest, go to the, they pull him over and he weigh his truck twice, once with, once without or whatever. And they'd be able to calculate, why is this guy carrying, instead of, he said he's only carrying 40,000 liters, say 40 tons or whatever, but yet the vehicle weighs 60 tons.
Mm.
So he doesn't confess it. So then what they do is they take this diesel and they go and sell it, and the guys mix it with paraffin. So they go to the smaller garages, and you'll see there, I don't know if you've ever seen it, you go into this little farm, you'll see the guy with a big tanker, just a normal big tank on the side of the road, and he's selling, in the middle of nowhere, he's selling diesel. Do not go and buy diesel
not
for
them. Not to be trusted.
If he's giving you a price that wears, I think it's 22 rand something a litre of diesel now, and he's giving it to at 19 rand,
run.
Believe me, Don't even run. Just drive away.
Just
don't
roll
even
down
stop.
The hill if you're out of diesel.
That's it. Get someone to bring you. So this is the problem, is that these guys are bringing it. Because the diesel is, what they're saying, tampering especially appealing to criminals because paraffin is not taxed. And it's cheaper by 67 rand a litre. So the guys will take 500 or 600 litres out there and then put the paraffin inside. That doesn't matter how much paraffin is inside your fuel tank. It's going to make huge amount of problems to the engine performance, and then it's going to start destroying your engine. And if anybody's got a high-powered diesel vehicle, like Richard, it can cost you anywhere from the region of 50,000 rand to 150,000 rand to repair that engine.
So, buy a new car.
Well, that's... people can't afford this. You know, that's what I'm saying, is that you've got these people that are doing this because they want to make money. Look, unfortunately, the times in South Africa and the amount of theft and things like that is quite scary. And they don't care about it. They don't care about you. You can just afford your car. You go to some place you trust. They put something in your fuel. Off you go, driving down the road. Even water, we've seen with water as well. And your car stops. Oh, no, they won't have insurance for it. And that's another thing. Whereas the big garages do have insurance for, sometimes there might be a contaminant for some reason, someone did it, they haven't picked it up. They will have insurance to cover this. Whereas the smaller garages will not. So they just tell you, bye-bye, phone me later, sue me. And there's nothing you can do. Not the way the system works at the moment. I mean, they were even saying in some cases they raid these testing, they tested some fuel tankers and they found some of them contained 68% paraffin.
Goodness me.
So if you're taking 20,000 litres, say 20 rand a litre, and you're putting something in that costs 15 rand a litre, there's huge money to be made. And you're not worried about who's going to be the end user. You just want that money in your back pocket. And unfortunately, at the weighbridges and at the borders, these guys are getting coerced into bribes. As we know, South Africa is really good at that, unfortunately. And this is the problem. But the... So it's scary, but if you're going up to Mpumalanga and things like that, anywhere along the thing where all the trucks and that go, the guys do sell the diesel, and the guy, you'll see the guys, I think that I saw the other day there, whereas the guys have put on the fuel caps, the guys have put special locks on their trucks and they try to stop the guys from stealing the diesel out the side of the truck. So a lot of guys sleep while they're driving on the side of the road. You'll see them. The guys come with a drill.
Oh, my word.
With a thing, and they drill holes into the tank while the guy's busy sleeping.
To drain the diesel from the tank.
Well, it's, if you consider 22 rand a litre.
Oh, my word.
And you're stealing 500 or 600 litres.
Sure, the crooks are clever, hey.
Very clever.
My word.
Even they even steal the wheels while the guy's sleeping.
Oh, yes.
So that's quite a common thing, and the wheels are... aluminium with the tires.
I was going to say, the wheel caps are something I'm well acquainted with from studying in Stellenbosch.
Oh, yes. They'll steal it while you drive. You know, but they steal the whole rim. So the tires, rim, everything, that's a lot of money. I don't know what the price of a truck tire is. Probably 2,000 rand, what I'm talking about, 3,000-4,000 rand a tire. Sure. The guys steal all six at the back because they're normally big wide ones. They don't normally have a double wheel anymore. But the guys are so quick. It's like steering on bricks. Well, said put lock nuts. The guys have tried everything. But the latest thing now, like I say, is the guys take a drill. Everything's portable. They drill a hole very quietly into the aluminium tanks because they're all aluminium. And they just steal all the 600, 700 litres and they just, ba-ba. Sure. So times that by 20, if he sells it for 20, he's making apps. Even if he sells it for 15 rand a litre, he sells it for an absolute fortune. So I was just reading this thing as well, is that key officials in Gauteng, Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal detained 953,000 of litres of tainted fuel and seized assets worth 367 million rand to the syndicates. So that shows you how much it's worth. But I mean, and this is trying to explain to people, is that you don't realize how big the syndicates are in the country. And it goes all the way to, you go to Swaziland, Sweti, I think they call it now, I think fuel's about 2 or 3 rand cheaper a litre, yet we supply them. So a lot of people actually go there, spend the 50 bucks to go across the border, go and fill up their tank and come back out.
So, oh, my word.
Oh, no, you've seen it. So this is, like I said, they are talking about this paraffin that they're using in the vehicles. It's tax-free because it's supposed to be for the people that for using for the heaters and things like that in their villages and whatever. So the government doesn't tax it. So they've taken advantage of this tax-free paraffin to go and contaminate, to cause people more grief with the trucks and the cars and the buggies and things like that. So there's a lot of people that have been caught out. Like I said, if you go to somewhere, and unfortunately you've got to put diesel, especially if you're going to cross the border, you don't know what you're going to get there, and you start to hear that knocking noise, stop. Don't even go anywhere. Try and get somebody to smell your fuel and see what it, you'll see. You'll actually feel it. It feels totally different. Like I said, diesel is an oil, whereas paraffin is a fuel, and you'll feel the difference. Most people have dealt with paraffin at some stage in their life. Yeah. You'll smell the difference. But that can cause major damage to the vehicles.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you're on a long drive and your tank is running low and you happen to see a small petrol station or something, is there a way, you mentioned that the smell, it'll smell different, it'll feel different. Is there a way of telling before you've put it in your car?
The easiest way is to try and get a container and tell them I want to see the fuel before you put it in. That's the easiest way. So if you get a bottle, put it in there and you'll actually see the difference in it, and you'll feel it. Like I say, diesel is a very oily substance, whereas the paraffin's dry.
And they
you'll
won't
actually
mix
smell
well.
It. And they won't mix 100%.
Okay.
So it might look okay from a distance if you're looking in it, but you just wait a couple of seconds, you'll actually see it start to
separate
a bit, and you'll actually spot the difference. Even with water, water will sink to the bottom of diesel as well. So you can do that. But like I say, best thing is just take it easy. Make sure that you go to the right thing, because when the fuel burns at a higher temperature than the diesel. So the explosion is earlier, so it damages the injector, number one. Then it starts damaging the piston, and it starts burning.
Mm.
It starts burning a hole in the piston, and by that time, your motor's buggered. So anywhere 50 to 150,000 rand, depending on what vehicle. Now, I don't know if your insurance company will cover that, doubtfully. And like I say, you can't go back and sue these guys. So you've got to be careful of, like I say, it doesn't take much, but rather go to somewhere where you can get decent diesel. If it's in the middle of nowhere, stop, ask them, put it into a container, spend the 20 rand or even 10 rand, just don't need much. Leave it for a couple of seconds and check to make sure that your the fuel is correct. That's the biggest thing.
Okay.
So people can see before they put it into their tank that they're not contaminated. A lot of times, and if you're going to go across the border, sometimes I think it's Zimbabwe doesn't have the best of fuels. Find out from the guys that sell additives. You can put some in your fuel that will help with the diesel to burn properly. It's just stop everything from happening. So there's a lot of good things from overseas. They've seen this. So you can put it into your tank, and it'll help lubricate everything there, and it'll stop this contaminant of certain parts in the diesel engine, because the diesel engines, like I say, are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
So do that. It will be definitely better to do it earlier than too later. So I'll just go through what will be used if your diesel is paraffin in a diesel. It's the lubricating properties of different burning characteristics compared to diesel fuel. This can lead to premature wear, failure, fuel injection components, reduced engine performance, and potential engine damage, which I will put as number one. Potential engine damage, if you're going to do just the injectors, I'll give you diesels have high performance diesel injectors now, very, very finicky, and they start anywhere from 5,000 rand each up to 20,000 rand each.
Oof.
So if you've got and they damage them, believe me, they damage them. So you can have a diesel with a four-cylinder, so it'll be close to 40 grand, maybe, if you need four new ones. But if you've got a V6, 60 grand. That excludes labor.
All in all, it sounds like an expensive business to own a diesel engine.
It's not expensive. It's a very good, they get better power, better fuel consumption, but it's just what these guys are doing to the vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, it's the biggest thing is the fuel. Fuels are the biggest things. But the biggest thing is lubrication. Lubrication gets, because paraffin's a fuel, it burns and it dries. So, and that will start, as soon as something's dry in a cylinder, it'll start to seize. So when you take lubrication away, it seizes. clogged injectors, like I said, can cause injectors to clog because what happens is it's got a spray and it won't start spraying. So the compression comes up, it's looking for that. The diesel fuel also cools down the piston. It actually helps it. And if you don't do that properly, it's looking for the compression, because I don't know if you've taken a easiest way to say is a bicycle pump. You put your finger at the bottom and you push it, it burns your finger.
Yeah.
Because of the compression. Now imagine that inside the engine is 10 times higher and it needs that spray. So that spray comes out. As soon as the spray comes out, because of the extreme temperature under the compression, it fires. Now it hasn't got that diesel fuel just to give a little bit of lubricant. Everything goes dry and it starts to wear away on the side of the pistons and starts damaging the ball, the pistons, and this is when the engine damages comes up. Diesel fuel, the off good. I mean, what did we do? I think my brothers, he just decided they were going to drive a Ford Raptor to Namibia. And we asked him what the fuel consumption was going to be, and it was close to 17 to 18 liters per 100 kilometers. You've got a little Honda Jazz, I imagine.
I do.
Yours is about.
How did you know that?
I saw that outside. So it's a 6.5 liters per 100.
Yeah.
We just did a 5,000K trip over the week and a half ago. We went up to Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Polokwane to see my son and that. And we got a little Kia Seltos, a little diesel, 1500. Best fuel consumption I've ever got in my life. We got it down to 4.7.
Wow.
So we did 950 Ks to 45 liters.
Wow.
So that's very, very good. So we were quite happy we didn't put clappy diesel in.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So we pulled up in Joburg and drove all the way up to Mpumalanga, along Limpopo, to the Kruger Park and that.
Oh, gorgeous.
Very good fuel consumption. But up there, the roads also got a lot of trucks. Very busy highways, extremely overpriced toll roads. So if you're going up there, make sure you got a lot of money for toll roads after Bloemfontein, because that's where the toll roads start.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, the temperature, when your diesel injectors don't cool the engine down, the increase in engine temperature, that's what causes damage. Things start to overheat. The pistons start to melt because that's only a special alloy that they use. And if you see the diesel injector, a diesel piston, it just collapses. Engine performance, because you won't have the compression because everything's collapsed. But the biggest thing is you've got to listen to the engine knocking. This is the biggest, this will be your warning sign. So as you're going along, the engine will start getting this loud, quack, 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 and the power will start going down. Look, by that time, the engine's probably buggered anyway. But if you start to hear and you start to feel this, you can hear this engine knock from your diesel, because most diesels are very quiet now. Start to hear it, stop.
Stop.
Or try and pull over where it's safe to do so, because nowadays no one knows. So just be careful on that. That is the biggest thing is if you start the car, you hear this knock. The knock is because it's not firing, it's not igniting properly. And it'll start to make a bad noise. Like I say, if you've ever started a diesel with a quick start or something like that, you'll hear it sounds like someone standing inside the engine with a hammer going, God, oh, God, let me out.
Yeah.
And this is the easiest way for people that don't know mechanicals, that's what you will hear.
Okay.
So that is the biggest thing there, to hear that thing. So be careful if you're going to travel. I think a lot of people are coming back from holiday now. So I think schools go back next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Yeah, but later on, please tell the kids if they're going to drive your vehicles, put diesel in at a good place, or make sure you put it in, because it'll be easier. And if you are going to go off the beaten track, try and get some additive. Go down. There's a lot of places the guys will help you at certain spares places like Midas, Goldwagen, Master Parts, anywhere that sells parts. We'll be able to help you with some type of additive that you can put into your fuel tank to stop certain things from happening on these long distances and things like that. And it was an interesting thing my brother also told me. He says most of the vehicles is like they're not made to consistently run at 120 kilometers an hour for 6 or 7 hours. So if you're driving, you've got good fuel consumption, and you drive, stop. Let the car get back to normal operating. Just let the car stand for a while. Let it just cool down. Let it just work certain parts to get the lubrication going again, because something might have happened. But vehicles are not made to run at that
speed for such a long duration. Yeah.
It's the same as generators. If you've got a generator, and lucky we've had no, touch wood, we've had no power outages. Ooh,
knock, knock.
Knock, knock. And that's what we'll do, yeah. So, and that also, that people not servicing their generators, well, that will also be, okay, diesel as well. They also said, do more frequent oil changes, especially on the diesels, because the diesels don't get contaminated because all this emissions control from Europe. And we're getting forced into it, and we have got it here. And if we've got crappy diesel, the crappy diesel will actually, there's another thing it'll call. You won't know about this, it's called a DPF, diesel particulated filter.
Mm-hmm.
That will get clogged because what it does is, as an engine fires, diesel lets off soot. So the soot comes down, and this special diesel particulate filter catches the soot. And then it's supposed to regenerate, it gets extremely hot and burns the soot off. This DPF will get blocked, and the car will lose power, and you'll have problems with the engine light will come on, it'll tell you this, that, the next thing, and a lot of guys don't want to, you can't get it cleaned, there's very few places that do it down here, but a DPF can cost you somewhere between 15 and 25,000 rand.
Oh my goodness. So, I'm really, really enjoying my little petrol tank I have in my Honda Jazz right about now.
Honda was one of the first cars to actually do the engine regeneration of what they call engine recycling. So what they would do, one of the first vehicles, a lot of them in America, but more Honda was one of the first ones. They had the old Honda Civic, little box-shaped thing. What they did and what they found in Japan is if they take some of the exhaust gases, the old gases, and put them back into the engine, it will bring down the CO level so the air that comes out the back has been burned twice. So the pollution level will come down.
Interesting.
So they had these things. We didn't know much about it because and this is what unleaded cars came from, because the leaded cars many years ago, before your time, that's why the leaded cars, it was bad for the environment, so they decided this is the way we go. So your first catalytic converters were the American cars, Japanese cars, but they didn't like the lead. The lead used to block them up, and the catalytic thing used to explode because it got so hot, because it gets hot and it gets blocked, bang. But Honda one of the first ones, a little Honda Civic, and I think this little guy, I think they did it on Wheeler Dealers, they built one up, and Honda America actually bought it back from them because they did such a good job.
Wow.
And the fuel consumption, I think they've gone on that to something like 4.5.
Sure.
So, British car. Yeah, so Honda were always good on their fuel consumption, great little cars, but they were one of the first ones. So, a lot of times we didn't know about this. We came to the country, we were mechanics. What is this rubbish? And now it's been forced onto everybody without you even knowing it. So, that's very important to put, number one, put the correct fuel in your car. And number two, get your car serviced. Don't ever forget about your car serviced. And the other thing is what I've been noticing again, people don't check their lights. I've mentioned this to Sue every time. People are not checking their brake lights, headlights. There's a lot of people driving. So Ian works, that's what I say, going over Oakhops of Ach, and you've got this car, or these bad lights that the LEDs that these guys are fitting, absolute rubbish, because it blinds everybody in the road. And where's your uterus trying to think? And they flash you because you flash them. And your wiper blades. Change your wiper blades, I'd say, every 18 months max.
Wow. Okay.
Don't leave it for 2 years. Do it every 18 months. As soon as you start see the streaking, they're not that expensive.
Yeah.
Some cars are, but most generally, little cheaper cars, they're quite good. Go out. Change them. They're not expensive. It's maybe 80 to 100 rand a blade or something. Have them changed.
And am I correct in understanding that it's kind of a good practice nowadays to just drive with your lights on at all times,
even
in the daytime? Because I think the newer cars are even...
Well, they have daytime running lights, as they would call it, yes.
Okay.
It's just so you can get seen.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter if it's day or night. People are blind.
That's the truth.
And that's... In Canada, they make it compulsory that when the lights cars manufacture it, the lights will come on.
Wow, okay.
Automatically, the headlights come on.
Sure.
But with the daytime running lights, that's normal practice. The only problem I find with the daytime running lights, if you don't have an auto switch, because a lot of them got auto switches where you have to turn your little indicator stalk to get your headlights on, a lot of them have an auto. So and it's got a sensor on the dash, and as it gets dark, the headlights come on automatically.
Okay. The
newer cars with the dash, when you turn on ignition, it's got automatic lights behind it.
Okay.
People forget to turn the headlights on if they don't have this thing. So they think that the headlights are on.
But it's just like...
But it's just the dash that is brighting up. So you got to remember, if you don't have the auto, turn the knob. Make sure your headlights are on if you don't have the auto switch. That happens to a lot of people.
Okay.
That's why you'll see them driving around with the little... The daytime running lights at the middle of night. Because they think because their cluster is on, the headlights are on. No, not on that. So okay. That is a big problem that I have seen a lot. I know a daughter's boyfriend did it the other day, and I had to flash him to tell him headlight, and he picked it up straight away that he forgot to switch his headlights on.
Okay.
Even though he's got his daytime running lights, they're quite bright. They've got the big LEDs and things like that. They also use them for the indicator. You'll see them, they'll change color. So it's what they call a light emitting diode that they use. It's all technical bloody stuff that costs. And if you want to change the headlights, probably going to cost you about 20,000 to 25,000 rand. You know, their madness with their prices.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, I don't know where the prices are going to. I had to price something for a little Renault Sandero. Yeah, the headlight switch.
Oh, gosh.
And that, nothing serious, just a normal little switch like your... You turn like it and your head... Yeah, you turn it, indicator works off. It's got a little hooter button on the side. And I went down to the agents and I said to him, how much is this maybe 1,500 rand switch? Over 7,000 rand.
No.
For a little Renault Sandero.
Oh, no. My anxiety levels during this conversation have skyrocketed.
So, I still said to the guy, I said, where are you sucking those prices out? People are buying these cheaper cars.
Yeah.
And they're not always the cheapest.
Yeah.
So you got to look at running costs. There was a guy in Natal used to do all these comparisons. I can't remember what his name was. And he used to do this comparison, put him in the paper so people could see. If you're going to buy a little car, Honda Jazz, what is it going to cost you to service it, look after it for the next 5 years? Basically, we'd get all the prices from the agents, and this is what you're looking at. No one does it anymore. So no. The Nissan Sandero, not a bad little car, a little three-cylinder 900cc with a turbocharger. They go very well. It's perfect for what you need down at the coast because of the air. I think the price on the clutch kit, I think my son told me they did one. I think it was close on 30,000 rand.
Oh, but clutches are scary things.
So that's another thing. You can afford the car, but can you afford the servicing?
That's a good point.
So don't always do that. And this is Sandero. If you have problems with your headlight switch, you can give me a call. I will give you a number and you can phone. It is less than 90% of that price.
Wow.
So, and I still said, showed the guy, I went to, because I had to get another price for him, also astronomical amount. I said, this is the price I paid for your 7,000 rand switch. And he looked at it and said, eh, okay, where did you get that from? I said, I always do a lot of shopping on the internet. I'll try and get the customer the best price possible that's out there. So people don't walk away with this absolute shock. Look, a lot of dealers don't do it. A lot of guys do it. They only prefer to do it with the agents, the big guys, because they've got a guarantee to do. But I'd still rather go out and buy and replace it three times before I go and buy one for 7,000 rand.
I agree.
If it lasts a year and I have to go in, I said, I'm saving you.
Yeah.
And it works perfectly. I've checked it, but I just can't fathom that price. I'm old school. I'm too old, so I don't, I'm trying to save people money.
There you go. Well, we've reached our time. Do you have any closing points for us?
We've made them all. Like you say, leave your lights on. Good idea. Especially in this weather. It's a bit cold and miserable. The better people can see you, because we are blind. I know I'm gay blind. So yeah, put your headlights on. Let people see you. The more you're aware, the better.
Wonderful. James, cool. Thank you so much for joining us today. I definitely learned many things.
Well, there's a few things.
A few things.
Okay, have a good one.
Thank you.
The Motor Zone was brought to you by EZQ for you. Vehicle admin made easy. Call 073-280-2971.
Have you got vehicle admin headaches? Hi, I'm Hazel from EZQ4U, and I have a solution. Whether it's personal or business, renewals, registrations, taking for roadworthy, or getting number plates, EZQ4U sorts it all. From licensing to ownership changes, BRNC applications to engine clearances, even deceased estate vehicle processing. We do the running around so you don't have to. Take the schlep out out of your vehicle admin, call or WhatsApp EZQ4U on 073-280-2971 today. EZQ4U, vehicle admin made easy.